So when we talk about youth programs at EAA, the common thought is probably some variation on, oh, you mean Young Eagles. But as I'm learning, EAA youth programs come in a couple of varieties, field and resident. And while Young Eagles is the field version, Bob Campbell, our guest now, manages resident education and museum operations. He directs all the summer Air Academy camps and the museum-based youth programs through the school year, and he is our guest today on Flight Plan. Bob, thanks for coming in.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So if I were of a certain age, I'd certainly be excited in Air Academy. Give me the 30-second pitch on what Air Academy is and who it's aimed for and what the goal is.
You bet. The Air Academy camp started back in 1984. We're celebrating our 29th year. It is for co-ed kids age of 12 to 18. Actually, you could be 19 and graduate that year from high school. We've got three different levels of camps. The 12 to 13-year-olds are our Young Eagles. We have the 14 to 15-year-olds, which are our basic campers. And then our 16 to 18-year-olds are our advanced camp. And each camp, the younger camp is for 4 nights, the middle camp is 5 nights, and then the older camp is for 8 nights. And so we try to give these kids, as they come in the younger level, very basic aviation skills and programs and activities and workshops. And then as they advance into the basic and the advanced camps, they get more advanced with those programs and activities. A little bit more in-depth advanced camp where you get into welding and more composites and wing ribs and things like that.
Now, are they all the same length?
No, the Young Eagles is 4 nights, basic is 5 nights, and the advanced camps are 8 nights.
Okay, but they all involve a little trip away from home.
Oh, yeah. We have kids from all across the country. Yeah, we've got this particular camp we've got in session that came in inbound day yesterday. We have 55 kids. Our capacity is 56.
Do you know what the percentage is of kids that come from EAA member families? Probably pretty high.
Oh, yeah, it's very high. It's over 3/4 of the kids that come in our EAA memberships, or chapters for that matter.
Yep. Now, give me a sense of what is maybe the one or two most exciting things that a camper would be doing at each of the three kinds of camps. What's sort of the penultimate activity for each of them?
Oh, I got to say it's the flight. We hire some really top-notch staff, the age of 18 all the way up to 25, 30. Four of those staff are CFIs, and we pull them in, and that's all they do with our camps, that they fly these kids. Each kid will get a 35-40 minute introductory flight. The pilot will taxi out. It's fun to be able to talk to the tower, and they get into taxi in, and they get off once they get into level flight, and then they turn the airplane over to the camper. Depending on how comfortable the camper is, and they go through slow turns, steep turns, stalls. Just a really nice introductory flight, where then that camper will then be able to log that time in that specific aircraft. We're using the Skycatcher 162s as the two of the aircraft that we're using for the kids, and that's got to be the ultimate experience. And then they also get a helicopter ride in our Bell 47,
yeah,
which is another really neat thing. And then it's really whatever the camper is intrigued more in the wing rib, or could be a composite program. It really depends on the camper.
So I'm kind of wondering what the dialogue is like in the household when a parent is helping a child decide, should I do this one or that one? Composite or wood or what? Mm-hmm. I mean, is the whole camp focused around a particular construction method?
No, it's just giving them a kind of a thumbnail, kind of a little brief experience of different things. If it could be a composite activity, it could be a metal fab, could be okay. Bucking rivet, rivets, those types of things. So we give them a little taste of everything.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes. And
right.
So they would, but they might love more the composites or more than the wing rib. We do a real 1 foot wing rib with the younger kids and the 2 foot Acrosport wing rib for the older kids.
Got it.
So.
Now, the camp counselors, where do these folks come from?
They're from around the states. We've got a great internship program with the University of North Dakota, and that's where we get our CFIs from. We've got a great relationship with the Northrop Grumman organization. We have also some other interns that are coming from specific scholarships and donors that have given money to help us out. And so there are certain names that tie to those specific internships. And then the general public that we have that support our kids.
So how many weeks out of the summer are camps being run?
We have 8 sessions. And now the sessions, again, they're not your full week. So we have 8 full sessions. We have 3 Young Eagles, 3 basic, and 2 advanced camps this year.
Okay.
And so
none
we'll
of those run concurrently, right?
No.
Okay.
No, they're all spread out throughout the summer. We used to do it Young Eagle, then basic, and then advanced. But now it's just spread out all through the summer.
And is any of them running the week of Air Adventure?
Yeah, we do. The week before Air Adventure is our first advanced camp for the 16 to 18. And that'll lead up for the first 3 days of Air Adventure. So those kids will get 3 days of total immersion into the Air Adventure experience. And then they have an outbound day on Wednesday, and then Thursday is a kind of a day off from the staff. And then we have a new inbound day yesterday. And so now these kids will get yesterday, today, and Sunday, and then they start right back in the classrooms and the workshops and things starting Monday, and then we start flying. Once the NOTAM goes off, then we start flying the kids as well, starting Monday all through next week.
Are these two camps that overlap AirVenture? Are they the ones that sell out first?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are the ones that sell out the first, and by January 1st, they're full with a wait list. And we'll have a wait list of 10, 12, even 15, but we try to really kind of smooth that in and get them in. Some kids will then back out for some other reason, so then we'll put another one in there. And we're looking to even better that experience next year by adding a third advanced camp, which would be the week after AirVenture. Something we're going to try, and we're trying to attract that 16 to 18 year old group again, even though they're on a wait list. I know AirVenture is a big ticket, that's why they really want to be here, but again, we know that we can still attract that age base and then provide what's called the supported workshop emphasis in that third advanced camp. So they're going to come in and really get more into a composite or a fabric type of a program, and that'll be about 7 days.
Talking with Bob Campbell, who's the director of resident education as part of EA youth programs. So give me a sense of how much STEM instruction is embedded in this program. Is that something that you explicitly try to do, or
yeah,
is it more about motivating and stimulating interest and trying to reorient a kid so that once they get back, they're going to be maybe newly motivated in that direction?
Well, it's actually both. I mean, we're trying to grow participation in aviation, you know, through the kids coming here and trying to create that spark. You know, today kids have multiple camps they can go to and multiple things during the summer. So what camp do they want to choose? Is the aviation camp? Is that a soccer camp? What sets us apart from other camps that are out there and that these kids have to choose from? So one is to totally immerse them and get that spark and really create the future aviators, because we know the aviation population, the pilots population is diminishing. So we're trying to create that interest in that younger level. Then it's also incorporating the STEM aspect and the educational component of that we, you know, the science and the math part of that through our ground schools. And then when we do a weight, and especially in the advanced camp, when we do a lot of weight and balance and we do a lot of neat things where they have to learn how to bend a certain piece of metal and tubing to measure just the right way, and how they use a mathematical skills to come up with a certain weight and balance of an aircraft. So all these different things we tie into. We don't want it to be a school. I mean, it's supposed to be summer camp and fun, but we really subliminally, in a sense, do that. And we're creating that really neat connection between the STEM piece and fun. Yeah. In the aviation fund.
Yeah. Now, is there anything in particular that a student will take back to maybe a science teacher and say, here's what I did, and this was so cool, maybe other students would be interested in this?
Yeah, I mean, one would be the wing rib. I mean, we do a short 12-inch wing rib for the younger kids, and then you do the Aquasport wing rib. It's about 2 feet. So they can take it back to their science teacher and say, I learned how a wing rib is built.
That's a pretty impressive show-and-tell object,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, show, and then the airflow over the wing. I mean, Bernoulli's law, Newton's law, and how that all flows. And this, and now I know how this works. And then you take, you know, how many wings it takes to build to build a wing, and all the dynamics and the airflow and the different aspects of that particular wing. Then you tie that into other aspects and parts of the aircraft that we try to teach them. So yeah, I think there's a lot. It's a big show and tell, I would say. Who would not want to go back and have all these different things, or a metal project or a composite project that they would have and show, this is what I learned and this is what it's for. And it hopefully, again, they'd learn a little bit about that, then they may someday want to take an A&P course, you know, learn more about how to build an airplane.
Where would you like to see this program go in 5 years, 10 years?
Continue the traditions that we're so known for. 29 years, going to celebrate 30 years next year, is to continue to be that stepping stone for aviators, the young aviators, to start initially in their aviation world and career. During the ground schools, our CFIs really help them to understand what other careers are in aviation, not just flying. There's many other components of aviation, the aviation world, that they can really, if they're not really good at math, maybe they can be another part of the aviation world or something like that. But I just would like to see us continue to be on a cutting edge, that we can provide these great programs for kids of all ages from 12 to 18.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if it would work as well if it were not in Oshkosh. I mean, I'm sure it would be fun to be able to have this occur in other locations where kids don't have to travel as far. Mm-hmm. You could probably meet a greater audience. But the Oshkosh experience is just too profoundly unique.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate for that not to be a part of what these kids experience. I'm sure that's been a debate you've had.
Well, it is. But we also have some really nice collaborations throughout the years that we're able to help some other FBOs and some of the chapters and other FBOs across the country. Of trying to start their own little day camp or their own little Air Academy day camp. And we utilize some of our own programming and some of the activities that we have through it, however we do that, in lesson plans and things we send them to help them get that started. And so they kind of mirror what we do here, and kind of that's that stepping stone. If they do a day camp for the younger, then also now they're coming to camp as a 12-year-old.
So if somebody has a real passion about this and mm-hmm. and wants to see if it could work in their location, can they get in touch with you?
Sure,
and your group can become a resource then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we have done that. Like I mentioned, a lot of FBOs and the chapters at these FBOs have contacted me. The chapter out in Flaybob, you know, and we just were meeting with them this last week, and they're trying to create an Air Academy out there. It's going to be not a mirror image of the Air Academy, but something they do really well. But they're bouncing ideas off us, and we do the same thing. I call some of my friends that are out there in the aviation world and even non-aviation world camping. I said, what do you guys do, and how do you do that, and how we can better our programs? You're always reinventing the wheel in a sense and creating new and exciting programs.
So let's shift gears now and talk about the other hat that you wear, which is museum programs. Mm-hmm. I made quite a discovery this week. I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't know it, but way back in the back of the second story of the museum, right past the simulator, I discovered the Kidventure Gallery this week, and I was stunned. How cool is that?
Oh, it's real cool. And it's a great area for kids, again, hands-on activities. They can learn about various aspects of an airplane that flies, all the little hands-on touchy things that they have. There's a great Raptor, F-22 Raptor room that we have, and they can learn about that, speed of sound, the pressure suits, infrared cameras, and how all that, the radar detection that they use for the F-22. And then we have just a hands-on flight sim areas, flying a glider. To a hang glider, to a balloon. I mean, all these neat things that are in there, just hands-on, right. And you can't get the kids out of there.
I didn't count, but I'm thinking there are probably a dozen carrels or, mm-hmm. simulated cockpits of one kind or another for a kid to sit in and fly all these different kind of aircraft.
They could spend all day in there. Yep, they could spend. Then outside of that, we have our Max Flight, the 360 Max Flight. They can, for $6, they can get in with a partner, and they can fly. It's like an amusement ride.
That's a full-motion simulator.
That's a full-motion simulator, and that's a lot of fun.
Yep. Wow. Well, great resources. Mm-hmm. Again, somewhat unique because the EAA Museum is a one-of-a-kind museum. Mm-hmm. So you then extend these resources for programs for local schools that put the kids on a bus, leave the grounds for half day, come out here.
Right.
What do they do when they get here other than try to get over the shock and awe of that room, which is considerable?
Right. Well, we have the museum itself is open daily, and so we have a lot of school groups that will just come in, and they get a tour of the museum, a wonderful tour by our docent corps group that we have, and then they can spend time in the air adventure, and they have lunch, and they go. But then we have a lot of other school groups that will contact us and actually get an educational component. And we do really the fun things of air compressed rockets. We do a fun one. Probably the most popular one is Houston, We May Have an Omelet, where they have to take an egg and protect the egg with various paper and popsicle sticks and straws and protect it from dropping from the second story and see if it survives. And so we do that and tie in, again, the STEM piece of that, even though they don't think we're doing this, but we're tying the whole STEM thing, talking about gravity and talking about inertia and acceleration. All that ties in and how they then can protect their egg. And it's also tied into the Spaceship One piece. So we do it right outside Spaceship One, and they build their egg, and they see the model, and they see the movie, and they say, okay, now Mike Melville's coming back in the atmosphere, and how are you going to protect Mike from the second story? And they they name it, and they name the egg and everything like that. But it's a lot of fun. Or we do paper pilot programs and dealing with the four forces and the three axes of an aircraft, mm-hmm. To the wing rib, to pyro rockets. We do it even to the advance of the pyro rockets thing. So we do a lot of cool things that they can sign up for and pay for a program or two programs. They get a tour, and then they go home. And then there's the other component we have called the Flight Link program, which is the minimum is 24 hours. So the kids will come in at 11:30. We feed them lunch right away. They get a tour. Then we get totally immersed into the structured activities all day, the first day, that evening, get up the next morning. And we feed them, and they sleep in our beautiful Air Academy lodge. And then we program in the morning, and then they leave by that noon of the second day. And then we have, again, 24-hour, we have 48-hour, we have 3 days and four-day groups that are coming around from all around the country, from Florida to the Twin Cities, Highland Park out of Illinois, and these, again, through our Flight Link programs that are sponsored by donors that feel very compelled and passionate about aviation and the ownership they have with the EAA.
So museums then are calling, looking for help, ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you exchange materials out of your collection with other museums?
Yeah, we do. There's not, as far as the aviation museums, we try to share and have that commonality between a conduit between each other that we can do some sharing of ideas and activities. And that there's just more schools that will contact me, that they either hear about us, they see it on our website, or they want to try something new, something different, or by word of mouth, they hear the great programs they're doing. So I'll shoot them off a CD of a couple programs or email, and then help them get that that activity going, and through pre and a post activity kind of a program and lesson plans.
Yep. So, again, same question as before. Where does this program look like it's going to go in 5 or 10 years?
Well, I see that, you know, it's
the museum-based.
Yeah, the museum-based education, again, looking at the importance that we have of trying to keep kids on the cutting edge of aviation and trying to feed the aviation world. I see this as another great program. And it's also just getting kids from that would not otherwise have an opportunity in a school group setting, be it an inner-city type setting, or where it might be, but we really, the relationships, as long as we have donors out there and we have folks out there, and the CESA, the Cooperation Educational Association, the agency, I should say, of Wisconsin, receives funds from the DPI and the WDOT that helps sponsors our kids, these kids from 12 different districts in Wisconsin coming in for the 24-hour flight link experience. So as long as we have folks out there and with the focus of creating a better understanding of aviation, a better understanding of STEM, all the new standards that are being written and things like that, I see that the education component could live on for many years.
So I'm going to guess that you're interested in being a resource to EAE members, mm-hmm. to be able to kind of pull the mm-hmm. good things that you do through adjacent organizations in different states. But maybe they should wait a few weeks until Air Academy's all over, huh?
Well, yeah, we take a kind of a big breath, you know, we blink a little bit and take a deep breath, and then we move on. But come Monday, we're back at it. You know,
okay.
There's really no rest for us here. We just enjoy what we're doing, and it's just exciting to have the air show here going on this week. And so I look forward to future things with many folks to hopefully when they contact us.
Bob Campbell, who's the Director of Resident Education and Museum Programs for EAA Youth Programs. Thanks so much.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.